You're listening to the NCF&B Podcast, part of the OG Podcast Network. The NCF&B Podcast takes you behind the scenes of North Carolina's food and beverage industry. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NCFBPod. This episode sponsored in part by Food Scene. That's foodseen.com. Providing professional photography, social media management, video production, and website design. And now, enjoy the show.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the NCF&B Podcast. I am your co-host, Max Trujillo.
And I am your co-host, Matthew Weiss. And on the show today, we talk about the resurrection of Chicken Wire, a pop-up supper club headed by Regan and Dawn Stockler. Chicken Wire gained its popularity in the Triangle area of North Carolina by connecting chefs from all over the Southeast to participate in cooking for a good cause.
The charities change for each event, but the messages always remain the same. Connect talented chefs to diners while providing an extracurricular outlet for creativity and to allow chefs to further give back to their communities.
This specific episode focuses on an event entitled Soup for Syria, a cookbook authored by Barbara Abdeni Massad. The cookbook consists of recipes from acclaimed chefs and cookbook authors to help food relief efforts to alleviate the suffering for over 3.8 million Syrian refugees around the world.
With help from Niamon Bakery and La Farm Bakery, Chicken Wire assembled over 20 local chefs to create their own soups for a gathering held at La Farm Bakery in Cary, North Carolina this past Sunday, April 8th. The event alone raised more than $26,000 for Syrian refugee relief. A big shout out to everybody that came and helped out this event. So hear from the chefs today. Tell us a little bit about who they are, what they prepared, and why they continue to participate with Chicken Wire.
And now, enjoy the show.
So on the phone, we have Chef Regan Stockler, the center of the universe of the Chicken Wire, all that is the Chicken Wire, the creator, the mastermind. Welcome, Regan.
Hello, sir. How are you doing, Mac?
I'm doing great, man. Usually when there is a Chicken Wire event that's out there, it's, five chefs, perhaps, maybe four. But no, you decided to have 18 contributors to this particular event in all various forms. So, Regan.
Yes, sir.
What took you so long?
For what?
From the last Chicken Wire to this one.
For one, I closed my restaurant. And I was pretty burned out. And I missed my family. So I spent a lot of time with them. And so it wasn't until this past Christmas that I started doing some private gigs. And I started liking to cook again and have fun cooking. And some buddies just kept bugging me about, hey, when are we going to do a Chicken Wire? Hey, when are we going to do a Chicken Wire? So I finally got excited about it again and was able to put this together. I actually originally, what actually forced this one to happen in a way was Missy and Lionel over at La Farm came to me about this idea about Soup for Syria. Mm-hmm. And, it was a great charity. And, so what we do with Chicken Wire is, I get together some chefs, we put on a theme meal, and we always donate to a charity. And with them coming to me first with the charity, which is not something we've always done, but it also kind of gave us a platform of what we could do.
Sure.
So, there it is, Soup for Syria. So all I did was within, 48 hours, I had about 20 chefs volunteering to be a part of it. And I fired it back at La Farm. I said, here you go. This is what I got for you. They were ecstatic about it. And off and running we went.
A lot of it has to do with the camaraderie that you have conveyed. The competition dining, I believe, working together.
So what it was, we were all doing Fire in the Triangle, the competition dining. And, they had promised us that was an opportunity to get to know one another. And actually what it became was I almost had a resentment towards other chefs. And that wasn't why I wanted to do it. And, you know, basically we all kind of quit doing that. And, you know, I was approached years ago from the group out in Asheville, the Blind Pig Crew, about doing an event with them. And, you know, I really had this idea of doing a Halloween dinner, and we couldn't make it happen. So, you know, a bunch of my regulars said, "Hey, Regan, why don't you just do it yourself?" So I immediately text Sean Fowler and John Childers over, and he's also over at Elmstead. And they immediately, you know, they within, I think, a few hours, both of them were down for it as well. And that's kind of what launched it right from the get-go. We put that first one inside of a brewery, a Brewprint brewery. They were so nice to offer that up.
Yeah.
You know, they were still a pretty new brewery.
Yeah, it was fun.
And, yeah, you were there, and that was the very first one. We did a bunch of Offal. That was I love Offal, the fifth quarter. You know, those guys were all on board with it. You know, we were just in the back of the parking lot cooking up this meal, and we all loved it. We were like, okay, they both were like, okay, when are we doing another one? And I was like, okay, great.
I got to tell you, on a personal level, that particular event kind of really catapulted a lot of things, even in my own personal life and you know, career wise. And I think, you know, in some small way, might even be a small responsibility of even the NCF&B podcast, in the sense that I felt very connected to the community once the Chicken Wire events started. And you know, we give a lot of props to Lambstock, and you know, we get to meet everybody when we're at Lambstock, and it's fun. But really, I don't think I would have even gone to Lambstock had I not known you about Chicken Wire, because you were the catalyst, at least from the North Carolina perspective, of getting people to go to Lambstock. But it was because we had all connected ourselves at Chicken Wire originally.
Yeah.
So this
totally.
Is like the prelude, you know, to the big event. I mean, I got to walk through this tree real quick because this is pretty fascinating. I didn't know you very well, but I knew of you, and I knew you were doing this Chicken Wire event, to which you sought out and hired Felicia, my wife, to shoot the event. So she's taking pictures of what's going on, and as payment, quote unquote payment, you're like, I can't really pay you, but I can give you tickets, and you know, you can invite some friends, maybe bring your husband or whatever. And so she invited me, and then I brought on my brand new chef, Ben Harris, who had just, he's a Raleigh native, but he had been cooking in Charleston for a long time, and we just brought him back to North Carolina to Midtown Grill. And so that was really like a getting to know my chef and I by dining together, and we had this crazy awful experience, you know, eating balls and dicks and brains.
exactly.
Thanks to you. And then what's funny about that is, so then Ben joined up, and he did an event. I think he might have even done two events with you. Ben was game for a while, and we worked well together. Then he eventually moved on and went back to Charleston. I became
friends
with John Childers, who I met for the first time at that first dinner. And then John became my chef at Midtown for a while. But then also, there's another connection, because the guy that was doing your desserts at the time, Brian Squires, was making desserts at that very first event. And lo and behold, as time went on, we were able to pull Brian in as our sous chef at Midtown Grill with Ben Harris. And then now Brian has done quite a few things. He went to Charleston with Ben, and now he's back. And now he's Chef Jake Wood and Jason Smith of 18 Seaboard's sous chef, who will be...
After going to Charleston.
So, I mean, it's crazy how connected this whole industry is, but yet there's such a positive vibe. I mean, and I'm so glad that it's back, because, I mean, how long has it been? It's been like a year and a half, almost 2 years since the last chicken.
It was two Christmases ago. Was the last one. It was just before, like a week or so before Christmas. We did an amazing event where we actually plated. We basically had no plates, inspired by Alinea's famous dish where they plate the dessert in front of you on the table.
Yeah.
So we basically just got a bunch of butcher paper, put it out over the tables, and every course we would take butcher paper, roll it out, and each chef would just throw food on the table in front of the guests. That was so much fun, because what it was it made all the chefs work together, because each chef would take a component of another chef's dish, and we would just walk around the table putting down that component on the table. And I mean, we just had a blast at it. You know, I mean, we do have a lot of fun at them. It's just, I, like I said, for myself, I needed a break. There were other pop-ups going on as well, so that it was kind of getting saturated. And that was never what it is. I mean, for me, it was just get chefs together, make awesome food, maybe food that you can't normally make at your restaurant. Have fun with it. And when we're done, we just donate the profit to charity. I mean, it's like, here it is. You know, let's just do it again. And that's what it is. I mean, because of it, I have so many chef friends all over the triangle and beyond. You know, and we do. We all get together. Some of us even get together with our kids. It's pretty great. I love it. You know, I got a chef's daughter's birthday coming up that I'll be going to, and I think part of it is because we've gotten closer because of Chicken Wire.
Yeah, and you know, I've spoken to probably 90% of the participants of the event at this point so far. It's like, why are you doing this? Oh, well, I'm doing this because Regan reached out to me. I like working with this guy. He's a good guy. Or I used to work for a chef that Regan would work with. So that chef said, hey, man, you got to join up with this. And so it's been really infectious. It's been a really great vibe. And I also think that maybe your vibe, quote unquote, has also permeated into the culture of Lambstock too, because I feel that the way like of this all inclusion and all participation and everyone's just kind of working hard to do it is the vibe of Lambstock. But I don't even know if that vibe would even have you know, carried on had it not been for what you had been contributing to the area. Funny that I even say that, because we interviewed you this most recent Lambstock and had a great conversation about cooking octopus and great conversation about what Little Hen was all about. And you were kind of at the end of your Little Hen run, and you're like, I think I'm done. And it was this great insight of hearing a chef that was, you know, kind of like you said before, you were like a little tired, you were a little burnt, and you're ready for the next project. Well, that particular piece of recording sadly got destroyed digitally somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really upset because I really wanted to showcase the interview with you as kind of front and center of what it meant to connect me and the podcast to Lambstock. And in transferring files over, it was just toast. And I tried recovering it, couldn't find it. And that was it. And then
the good thing is there's more Chicken Wire and there's more Lambstock. So
seriously.
So and quite fittingly, Max, quite fittingly, I'm actually I made Lambstock for this event.
You mean you have a stock that is of lamb meat?
I'm sitting in my truck talking to you with a giant stock pot of Lambstock behind me.
Well, you sent me that picture yesterday of an entire lamb skinned and then this shit-eating grin on your face as the next one. And that is going to be the cover poster of this particular episode, because nothing equates what we're doing at the Chicken Wire events better than that look on your face and that entire animal being a part of this. So, all right, well, that feeds the question then. So what is your contribution this weekend for Soups for Syria with your lamb stock?
I'm going to be hanging a lamb over my grill. I made with the lamb stock. And what I will do is, hopefully it works, fingers crossed, we will pour my lamb stock through the cavity of the lamb, so it's reinforced with this smoky lamb to make a, like I said, a reinforced lamb stock over beans. And being that it's Soup for Syria, this is a Syrian recipe that I looked up. So it has a lot of cinnamon and black pepper and other spices that you'd almost think of, warming spices / kind of curry spices you think of, but heavy, that cinnamon, black pepper poured over the lamb into a cup of beans. Yeah. And I look forward to it. I love primal meat. I love just cooking at home on a Sunday. I actually sit with my little girls and we cook over fire. It's my love. So. This is my passion.
So what are you doing now as a chef and a contributor to the food community now, and how will people be able to find work?
Well, what I'm doing right now is I started a company called Whole Foods, H-U-L-L, spelling. Whole Foods, Whole Foods, because I make things like hummus and halva and Danish sauces, all kinds of things like that. But then also I had people from my restaurant, Little Hen, say, Regan, you know, you're ever going to make your pasta again? So I've actually started doing that as well. I sell these things at the farmer's market. And they're all going well. It's Saturday, and I did a lot of that
In the pouring rain.
And then it was fun. Yeah. But I was also, you know, here's another thing with a restaurant and with Chicken Wire, getting to know people. Margie, who owns Maximilian's in Cary.
Yes.
She would come to my restaurant. She would come to Chicken Wire's, who she's also participating in this Chicken Wire. She has offered up, this is brand new information for people. She has offered up her restaurant to me on Sunday afternoons, where I will be doing an Italian pop up every Sunday, like as if it's a restaurant inside of her restaurant, because she's not open that day. And I'm going to be doing, basically bringing back what you think of it as red sauce, mom and pop pasta shop kind of restaurant. And basically what it is, you know, we all grew up with a good local Italian restaurant. Now they've all just kind of streamlined and ordered a lot of crap. And the standard's gone down so much, and it bums me out. As a dad with two kids, one thing I can always get them to eat is a bowl of pasta. The problem is so much of it out there is horrible. So I'm bringing that back. We're going to see how this goes. If it goes well, it may be a restaurant. I may move forward and start a new restaurant. The name of this concept is Red Sauce Joint. If that doesn't tell you what it is, I don't know what else does.
I love
that. We already have a logo and everything for it, and it's coming. We should launch it by the end of the month.
I love everything about that. Save me a table. We'll be there. Oh, that'll be great. I'm excited for that. That's so cool. That's some good hard hitting news right here on the NCFMB. So
you're breaking it, bud. I got news for you. I haven't told anybody but my cooks that are coming with me.
That's fantastic. Well, I look forward to it. Cool. Well, Regan, I love it. Thank you for making us a part of this as well. You definitely provide a community that I love to be a part of, and I appreciate it. So thank you again, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Again. This next segment is brought to you by Meredith College's Master of Science in Nutrition program.
And today in studio, we are speaking with Dr. Jennifer McMillan right here in Raleigh at Meredith College.
Thank you for having me. So I'm the director of the graduate program in nutrition at Meredith College.
Why are we speaking with you today?
Well, we're speaking today to chat a little bit about our program.
With that type of education, what is a career that one might find themselves employed from?
The students who come and get an MS in our food and nutrition studies track might work with a nonprofit, maybe work with state agencies like FNEP or SNAP, where they're connecting with communities doing nutrition education. We also have students who are being food entrepreneurs. So they might be preparing to build a business. We have a recent grad who is doing like a farmer's market. And so this aspect of our curriculum is really building a foundation where students are able to go into our community, and they might even be creating jobs that we don't know about yet. Mm-hmm. We are trying to integrate the ideas of sustainability within that curriculum. How do you do meal planning with the available products that are in your area? How do you connect with farmers in your area who are doing sustainable practices? How can you utilize the spaces that are close to you to produce food? We have a lovely demonstration area where we've connected with a national organization called Food Not Lawns. We don't all need a half an acre, a quarter an acre, a third of an acre of grass to grow food. Yeah. That why can't we do beds of kale and blueberry bushes and things that come back every year, fruit trees. So it's kind of the permaculture idea of growing food. Of course, we want to have those beds for tomatoes and peppers and the things that are annual plants that we put in and take out. Right. But we can incorporate the ideas of growing food in our areas, whether it be businesses or whether it be our home spaces.
Gotcha.
For more information about Meredith College and the master's program, you can reach them on their website at meredith.edu or click the link on our website at ncfbpodcast.com.
All right, so we're here with Lionel and Missy Vetinet of La Farm Bakery in Cary, just finishing up the Chicken Wire event. And, Missy and Lionel, tell us, according to Regan, that you guys brought the idea of doing Chicken Wire as a Soup for Syria event. True or false?
It's true. It's really exciting. A couple years ago, Betty with Niamond had given me Barbara's beautiful book that brought the culinary community from around our country together, mm-hmm. where 100% of the proceeds go to the plight in Syria and the refugee camps surrounding Syria. And so it was a huge honor to read through her book and see how instrumental she had brought our community together. So with that opportunity, I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could bring bakers and chefs together and do an amazing event where the proceeds could go towards Syria and we could be a part of this movement from across the country. And so with that, I mentioned it to Regan, and within 48 hours, we had over 30 culinary talent that is unbelievable commit to do a pop-up event within weeks. So then I said, by the way, Betty, I just wanted to let you know we talked about this. Are you good with that? And she said, absolutely, that's so exciting. And she said, you'll never believe Barbara's going to actually be in, and she's going to be visiting on April 8th. I said, well, there's the date, April 8th. And so with that, we were honored to be able to have her with us here at the event this evening.
Just tell us, for the people that might not know anything about, obviously we know that there's an issue with Syrian refugees, but people might not know anything about Soup for Syria or the Niamond or the book or anything, so can you just fill us in, like, what that, how that originated?
Yeah. So Barbara and Betty have been friends. Betty from Niamond.
Okay.
Have been friends for years, and so Barbara has been an incredible influence in the slow food movement. You'll have heard her when her book launched on NPR, and she has been such a voice for the culinary community to speak to what sometimes can be an uncomfortable subject, what's going on in Syria. And so it was an opportunity to be able to honor her by raising money. We also knew, all of us knew, that there was 100% confidence that the monies that were raised were going to go immediately to those in need. And so we felt very confident to funnel our efforts and our energies and our love. And at the end of the day, I think the event, really the ultimate goal, was that each one of us wanted to show here in the Triangle that we haven't forgotten you, Syria, that you live day to day the life that you've been dealt, and we love you and we're with you, even from as far away as here in Raleigh-Durham.
Amazing. Yeah. So Soup for Syria is actually a published book, right?
It is.
That has all these recipes of soups, and the proceeds for that book originally were donated to Syrian refugees.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Barbara, her book has been published in 7 different countries. And with that, she has raised over $500,000 that has gone towards the Syrian refugee camps.
Very cool.
Is that unbelievable?
That's so fantastic.
And you'll see some amazing recipes inside of the book. You have Alice Water, Anthony Bourdain, just some amazing chefs that gave of their time to contribute to this book. And so if I'm sure you've interviewed everyone here and the amazing talent tonight.
Yeah.
And the creativity that came out of it has just been unbelievable.
Seriously, yeah.
I think everyone can go home, rest assured, when they lay their head on their pillow tonight, that thousands and thousands of dollars have been raised, tens of thousands of dollars have been raised, and each dollar goes so far in Syria and in the camp. So what's so great is $1 goes another 2 or 3 in their world.
Right.
And so the impact is enormous.
Well, Leonel's here, so one question for you. What was your favorite soup of the night? Or you can give us your top three if you want to be diplomatic.
You know,
or other way, who sucked? What was the worst?
Yeah, who was really bad?
The worst and the best.
Yeah.
They were all good.
Come on. Are you running for office?
Yes, that too.
Yeah. Mayor of Cary.
Yes.
They're not very controversial. You know, I like that about you guys. You know, it's great, you know. So you know what? You know, they were, you know, everybody has their own style. Mm-hmm. You know, every chef, you know, are so particular to what they bring. Is why, you know, for me, in my eyes, they were all good, you know, with so much different taste. And we are very happy to be part of the great city we are in. And we cannot wait to do another fundraiser for a very good cause. And this one was one of the best we did.
Speaking with the co-owners of Postal Fish Company, chefs James Clark and Bill Hartley. Gentlemen, hello.
How you doing? How are you, Max?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for the quick phone call. As you saw from our quick email, first off, how did you get affiliated with Chicken Wire?
Well, we've been friends with Regan for a long time. We started becoming friends with Regan back during the Fire on the Triangle days. And so with that, you know, Chicken Wire base kind of got together because of friends wanting to get together and cook. We weren't at the very first one cooking, but we were at the second one, I believe, and cooked. And it was small. It was over at Crude Bitters. It was a lot of fun. And so we just kind of mowed it in from there.
Same with you, Bill. Kind of same thing?
Yeah, so this will be my sixth Chicken Wire, third that actual participating. The other three, I kind of just went and hung out and helped out. It, you know, one of the cool things about Chicken Wire is it's just as much about the food as it is about getting together. So that's one of the things I've always enjoyed about it.
That's awesome. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. So this is Soups for Syria. And so what Regan Stockler had mentioned to me was that all the dishes are going to be either soup or stew-based. And so with that, gentlemen, what are you preparing for dinner?
We're doing a PD River-style fish stew. PD River, which flows through the area that, you know, Bill and I met, the backwaters of the PD, and those guys, they cook a fish stew that's sort of tomato based. So it's just sort of a stew that we're doing is sort of an homage to where we came from.
Yeah. And you guys are definitely known for North Carolina seafood. In fact, that's what Postal Fish Company is all about.
Absolutely.
This segment is brought to you by the Triangle Wine Company. Visit Triangle Wine Company stores in Morrisville, Cary, and Southern Pines, North Carolina. Or order your wine and beer online at trianglewineco.com. And be sure to use our promo code NCFB to receive 10% off your purchases. Triangle Wine Company.
I have Jake Wood, chef de cuisine of 18 Seaboard here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Jake, so how did you get affiliated with the Chicken Wire events?
So we had an heirloom tomato dinner probably 8 months. Well, it was last summertime, and I met Regan Stackler, and he bought a ticket. He's known Jason for years, and I had the pleasure of meeting him that night and his wife, and we chatted for a bit, and he got me linked up with Lambstock, and me and my wife and my little girl actually ended up going to Lambstock, and when it finally came about, we were, you know, both Jason and I were really, really excited, and we're definitely stoked to get involved with this and make it happen on Sunday.
What are you specifically preparing?
Well, we were hoping for a little bit warmer weather. So we've got a chilled soup. We're doing a scallop crudo with a tomatillo agua chile, along with a young Thai coconut broth and some micro collards. And then we're going to top it off with some false caviar. We're going to make it some tomatillo juice.
That sounds great, man. Yeah, spring feels like it's finally upon us after already going through the first 4 months of this year. I look forward to trying your food this weekend and hanging out. Thanks again for being on the show and figure out the crack the nut that is Jake Wood.
Cool, man. Yeah, let's link up, brother. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
So we have Chef Adam Rose. Everyone's making a soup or a stew or something in that vein. Would you let us know what you're preparing for this weekend?
Yeah, sure. I am preparing a ribollita. It's a traditional Tuscan bean and bread soup, usually made with leftovers, white beans. Mine is starting. I decided to keep it nearly vegan, I'm calling it. I did have a couple cheese rinds in it while I was simmering it because I just couldn't help myself. But aside from that, it is I started with a fantastic, rich vegetable broth and a dark sofrito and went from there. I like to say that my mind thinks in Italian when it comes to cooking. Anything else is just playing around, but something like this, I wanted to bring something that just comes from the heart and from the soul and do something for the vegetarian crowd that with the intensity of what will probably be a meat heavy kind of day.
What is going on in your culinary career at this moment? Where are you working? What are you doing?
I am playing it low key. I'm concentrating on trying to see my family as much as possible. I spent the last 10 years of my life in kitchens 24/7, and I needed to slow down a little bit. So I have a luncheonette in Chapel Hill. It's actually called Luncheonette. You can find it at roseluncheonette.com. We're open Monday to Friday. We're in a business building. We are open to the public. We're in a, located inside of a beautiful atrium with indoor and outdoor seating. The menu is fresh. We have a strong commitment to all natural proteins, sustainable fish, and organic produce when we can, when we get a hold of it. And it's lunch. It's 11 to 2:30.
Yeah, very cool. Well, I will see you on Sunday.
This segment is brought to you by Food Scene. That's food, SEEN.com. Providing professional photography, social media management, video production, and website design.
And now we have Chef Blake Gottlieb from Under the Oak Farms. His new father, Mazel Tov, to Landon. And I hear he's making a fantastic recovery. How's that going?
It is, man. It's good. It's good. It's good to have him home. We brought him home last week, and everybody's getting adjusted and getting a routine going.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, what a wild moment. You and Megan came into the podcast studio literally 2 days before she went into labor, and that was, what was that? Was that a month ago? I mean,
2 months ago.
Already been 2 months. So that poor little guy has been in the hospital for almost 2 months, but now he's home. So we're good to know. Good to know that he's with his mama and daddy, and you guys are taking good care of him. So what are you preparing this weekend?
So I'm going to do a play on like a black eyed pea soup, I think is what I guess I'm going for. It's going to be a head and hock tureen, smoked pork broth, and a pickled black eyed pea salad with some fried black eyed peas. And some
that definitely sounds like a Chef Gottlieb inspired dish. You were super pig heads and doing terrines and all that. So I
and pickles.
Yeah, that's, you nailed all of your style all right.
Yeah.
What's the easiest way for someone to hire you?
They can email me, blake@undertheoakfarm.com. They can also just get on the website and contact me through there as well. It's www.undertheoakfarm.com.
That's great.
Yes, sir.
Give my love to Megan. Will she be there this weekend as well?
Possibly. I'm hoping so, but you know, everything's kind of playing by ear. Some days are good, some days are bad. So
yeah, of course.
Hi, this is Zach Fox with Straw Sticks and Bricks.
Straw Sticks and Bricks. What do you do over there?
So we're actually just a group of homebrewers, just kind of get together once, 2 times a month, and brew up some beer. Typically, we've got some ciders that we'll play around with and everything. Typically, would kind of just donate all our stuff to Chicken Wires, but we decided to dip our toes into the food for this one.
You've known Regan for a long time. One of my first questions was how did you get involved with Chicken Wire?
So I actually was up at Regan's old place, the Little Hen, one afternoon, and he was kind of telling me about the blind pig and everything, and we just started talking back and forth, and like, you know, why don't we kind of start one of these? And he was telling me about it, so I've actually been involved since the first one, which was the Offal dinner. Oh gosh, what was that? 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, that was.
So I went and kind of
that was a Brewprint.
Acted as Regan's sous chef for over at Brewprint. And from there, you know, me and him just kind of started talking again. I'm like, hey, why don't I brew up a beer for this next event? And that's kind of where it kind of kicked off. And we've been brewing up a special beer that kind of fits the theme of each event since then.
Very cool. Yeah, I've noticed that you've been a fixture, so to speak, at the all the Chicken Wire events. Yeah, I was a guest at that first Offal dinner. I was eating brains and balls and innards. That was it.
Yeah, it was a little wild.
Yeah, that definitely had an impact for the future. But so this time you are not making a cider or a homebrew or anything. You're actually cooking. So tell us what exactly you're planning to make.
Yeah, so Regan reached out to me, and we weren't going to brew for this one. He, you know, was kind of telling me that he wanted, you know, wanted me to come up with something crazy. So I'm like, oh gosh, what the hell am I going to do? So I got looking around and came up with this idea of how can I keg a soup and then dispense it through our Jockey Box. So actually, what I'm making is a holodnik, which in Russian translates to cold soup. So it's a cold beet soup that we are kegging up, and then we'll be basically pushing that then through one of our homebrew kegs and serving on tap.
So is this going to be carbonated?
It'll be slightly carbonated. We're not pumping it up to, you know, 30 PSI to get a crazy amount of carbonation in there, but it does, you know, affect a little bit of the flavor just from, you know, drinking it, but it's not going to have bubbles or anything.
Wow, that's pretty cool. But it'll be savory. It won't be sweet, or I guess it'll be...
Exactly, yeah. So it's a kind of a mixture of basically water, buttermilk, and then my test batch I did, I smoked a bunch of beets, and then you shred them all up, throw it all in there, and it's served with cucumbers, dill, green onions, and then we'll have some hard-boiled eggs to kind of top it off with. So it's kind of this nice cold savory.
I got to say, that's either going to be the greatest thing I've ever had or the most horrific thing I've ever had.
There's a good chance for both. So we'll see.
And I say,
you know, the wife wasn't a big fan of it, but she's not a beet fan. So
yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. That's pretty cool, man. So, well, that's exciting, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you're creating and tasting what you create this Sunday.
Cool. Sounds good, man.
Hi, this is Mike Coscarelli from Anxiety Now.
And Andrea Allen from the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
We just launched the brand new OG Podcast Network and wanted to let you know that you can hear ours and other great shows by going to ogpodcastnetwork.com.
Also, be sure to follow the network on social media to keep up to date with new shows, videos, and live events.
That's at OG Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Or you can subscribe to your favorite OG podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I have on the phone Chef Mike Bemoris, self-proclaimed Jewish Cuban chef. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, L'chaim, we just had Passover recently, so my fellow...
Oh, it's still going on.
Oh, that's right. The Jewish holidays never stop.
It ends on a Saturday night.
Oy vey.
Exactly.
My counterpart, Matt Weiss, is also part of the tribe. How did you first get started participating with Chicken Wire?
Well, this is actually my first real Chicken Wire event, but I've been friends with Regan for a while through Lambstock, and now that I fully live in North Carolina, this is the first one I've been invited to because you also haven't had them in a while.
Right. This is the comeback of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed doing just a little bit of research. You've cooked at a lot of places, some notable places. Most recently, you're at Smoke Belly out in Atlanta. Is that right?
So, yeah, I work in Atlanta for Smoke Belly and Southern – well, I work for Southern Proper Hospitality Group, which owns Southern Gentleman, Gypsy Kitchen, Smoke Belly, among a few other restaurants.
Right.
I've also worked in New York City, Miami, Rhode Island. I owned my own restaurant in Virginia, and I was in Israel for a little bit, and now I live in North Carolina. And in Charlotte, I worked for Midwood Smokehouse, and now I work for Rooster's Woodfire Kitchen.
That's cool. Guest of the show and one-time Charlotte affiliate, Ben Philpott, I believe, cut his teeth over at Rooster's back in the day. He was one of the chefs.
Yes, he did.
I think it'd be fun and interesting to talk to you, you know, with Matt in a more, you know, three-dimensional way. So we should chat about having you just be on the show in general because you have an interesting backstory and I'd kind of like to know more about you rather than just in this.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for 17 years in a plethora of cities, and I even traveled to Cuba and did some cooking there. So, yeah, I mean, because my family is Cuban and I'm Jewish, and it's a very unique thing to have a Cuban Jewish chef.
All right, so speaking of food, let's talk about what you are preparing. for this Chicken Wire weekend in response to Soup for Syria. So everything's going to be kind of soup or stew based. What do you have planned?
Yes. And you're going to laugh because so will Matt when he hears this. I'm making masa ball soup.
Oh, l'chaim!
Like, and because Passover is just ending, it's for Syria, I'm a Jew, it just made sense.
That's perfectly perfect. That's timely, and everyone will enjoy that. So,
yeah,
some pretty big shoes to fill, though, or not shoes to fill, but high expectations, because, you know, growing up in Los Angeles and Matt coming from New York, very strong Jewish cultures out there. And I have tasted very good matzo ball soup, and I crave matzo ball soup. So don't let me down, man.
You gotta realize I'm from Miami and lived in New York City. So, okay. Like, my Judaism can go strong as far as eating quality food.
All right. Any trick or any advice for someone making matzo ball soup? Like, is there a key?
You want your stock to be high quality. That's where you get your flavor.
Yeah.
And then also don't poach in water. You want to poach in stock, but you want to serve it in different stock, because if not, you'll have cloudy broth.
Oh, I like that. That's smart and mindful. And is that like it's a chicken stock, I assume you're using?
Yes, I'm using chicken stock, and I always put some schmaltz in mine. So because I work at a wonderful place that we go through chicken, like it's no problem. We have ample schmaltz around and like bones for making quality stock.
You're using a lot of Yiddish right now with that schmaltz. I'm not totally familiar.
Schmaltz is chicken fat. It's fat.
Oh,
okay. Just predominantly in the world of Judaism, it refers to chicken fat.
All right.
It's that good rendered chicken fat that we all love, but no one ever uses that much because it's hard to come by.
Well, I appreciate it. We will look forward to trying the matzo ball soup this Passover weekend.
It's how we do it, man. It's all about eating and drinking. If you really know us, every holiday is eating and drinking for multiple days on end, except for Yom Kippur, where we don't eat for one day and then feast afterwards.
Yeah, that's got to be an interesting day. All right, well, we look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and we'll have a recorder with us, so let's continue this conversation there. And Mazel Tov, I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Max. Have a good day.
And we are joined tonight, late night at 11 o'clock at night, with Chef James Johnson, notably known for working with AC Restaurants, which is also known as the Ashley Christensen Restaurants. And welcome. Good to have you in. Let's just start right here. We're talking about the Chicken Wire. And so first question, how did you get affiliated with Chicken Wire?
Oh, man. Let's see. Introduced to Regan after a botched Sunday brunch meal that him and his family had.
These were botched brunches, and he called you out? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, man. You know, we fell on our face, and he made us aware of it, and we did our best to recover from it.
At the time, I assume, when you were the executive chef at Tribeca Tavern in Cary?
Indeed.
Okay.
Came to his restaurant. Had food, had gift cards, you know, like, dude, I'm sorry, we sucked. Pretty much owned up to it. And, you know, that pretty much set off an amazing friendship.
All right. So let's, in advance of what I was going to ask you of what you were making this weekend, I noticed on Instagram you wrote, "Thrilled to be collaborating with Ashley Christensen. Excited to be using some amazing Ansa Mill products." So now you've piqued my interest. I know that currently you work for Ashley Christensen, and we will get into that in a quick moment, but please explain, what are you doing this weekend for Soup for Syria?
So we collaborated, and we came up with a Italian wedding, like minestrone love child with a little southern flair. Oh. So we have some wonderful Anson Mills sea island red peas we're going to be featuring. You know, some Carolina gold rice grits.
Yeah.
Some smoked chicken that we're going to smoke up and make some little meatballs and serve it with a nice grilled cornbread and a nice, rich, badass chicken stock.
That just sounds good, and especially the way you said it. So an Italian wedding soup.
Man, it's kind of a peasant comfort catch-all kind of what you have available at the moment,
Yeah. Which
is pretty cool. So you feature what's in season, what's going on around you,
went out to the local market, found some collards that we're going to be using. We're going to pickle them up. We're going to, like I said, we brought some Anson Mills product in. We're going to utilize that and just rock it out.
Now that you work for Ashley Christensen, who is nominated for Outstanding Chef of the Year for the James Beard Awards, which is crazy because it's a national award. This is not regional, people. This is like the real deal.
And it's heck yeah, national. Top five. Holy cow.
It's her and four other people, is that right? Or maybe three other people? So,
yeah, four other people. I mean, all across the nation. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, Vegas odds right there, a 20% chance of her taking the whole thing. And I mean, come on, she's our girl.
Man, I'll play that any day. I mean, such an amazing individual.
Lay it on us. I would love to know what someone learns when they walk into an AC restaurant as a new chef or employee.
Man, I can't give you all the secrets, but definitely be humble. Be humble about it. Source properly. Definitely reach out and create these wonderful networking relationships. Get great product in. And just give it justice. I mean, if you get a vegetable in and just take it to heart and make it the best utilization of that product as you can. And just that eye for detail. It's been amazing. Eye-opening for me.
I assume you're going to be at Lamb Stock this year.
Definitely, man. Yeah. Definitely put that time in to make that happen. Fourth in a row. I mean, it's just such a wonderful experience.
I'm feeling...
I hate to miss it.
If you need a line cook for your process, like, please employ me. Because I want to get in there, man. Let me know. I'm down, man. I'm totally down. I want to be a part of a team. I definitely don't want to lead a team. I just want to be a part of one.
Definitely, man. I don't say. Chris and John both are so happy to have you. Love to have you.
And so follow at Chef JT Johnson. And you'll know it's him because there's a massive beard in the profile of his picture. So we are speaking with Chef Daniel Benjamin of Lucette Grace, or as incorrectly pronounced many times, Lettuce Grace.
We do get that a lot, too many times, actually.
That place, Lettuce Grace, is great. Do they sell salads there?
We do have a tasty little salad.
Oh, well, there you go.
But
well,
so I guess I get where the mistake comes from.
Used to be the former pastry chef at the Umstead Hotel back in the old Scott Crawford days. You guys jammed there, kind of threw it down originally.
I did. I opened that hotel, which seemed like a lifetime ago, and got to work with a lot of great people. And it was a good entry into the area. And, you know, I never thought I would stay there that long. And you know, it was a big decision to leave, but yeah, I'm grateful for my time there. It was amazing.
Daniel, one of the first things I think I ever ate of yours was when you, Scott James, and Mike Lee did a version of Traveling Circus at Midtown Grill, 4 years ago, and you made a foie gras peanut butter and jelly sandwich for the take on kids' school food, and that blew
me. That was a long time ago, but good times. I mean, that's why we do these things. I mean, we allow ourselves to do what you want to do without necessarily having to feel the burden of, well, that didn't go over well, you know,
let's talk about what you're doing this weekend. So it is Chicken Wire. It's Soup for Syria. All the chefs were given a loose interpretation of making some form of soup. And since you're known as the pastry guy, the sweet guy, I am very curious, what are you making this weekend?
I do plan on doing a dessert soup, something kind of like a sweet pistachio milk with cinnamon, you know, honey, just a very like almost like a latte type texture of a light pistachio soup with maybe some really sour cherry puree. And one of my favorite things that we make at the bakery is we call it our baklava croissant, which is kind of a reinterpretation of the traditional like French almond croissant. And so I think I'm going to try and utilize some of those flavors to be a little crunchy baklava toast element to go with soup.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much, man. We'll let you go. I know you gotta start writing a menu. You got 51 and a half hours left.
And counting.
But we'll look for you when we see you at the secret location this weekend.
Good chatting with you.
This weekend?
Good talking to you, man. Take care.
Bye. All right. We'll see you Sunday. Bye.
Hello, and we have Chef BJ Peterson. Now, I don't believe we've ever met. So tell me a little bit, like, where are you working? You're doing right now?
So I'm at a spot called Primal. It's over in Durham, very close to the South Point Mall, Fayetteville and 54 Cross Streets, basically.
That's right.
Wood fire grill, simple, you know, just easily approachable food, trying to keep things clean and to the point, you know?
Yeah. So Primal, it makes me think of like a butcher, like Primal Cuts and all that. Is there a lot of meat heavy dishes?
We're making that transition. I started here in August. Didn't really adjust the menu a whole lot, but we just launched a new menu spring in about 2.5 weeks ago. Okay. So that's the goal, is kind of developing large cuts, you know, exactly that. Like Primal for me, I just kind of think I'm like out in the woods with a fire.
Yeah.
You know, and having this wood fire grill here is just really emphasizes that as well. So that's the goal, is to kind of do some things like that, maybe not on the menu, but hey, I know somebody, I heard you got a giant tomahawk chop or something like that, you know?
That's awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, and we'll continue this conversation then. And
sounds good.
Have a great rest of your day, man.
Thanks, you too. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take care.
All right, you too.
When it comes to vodka, it starts at the farm. Social House Vodka sources corn locally from a farmer who plants non-GMO corn. And because it's made from corn, it's also gluten-free. Social House Vodka comes from Kinston, North Carolina, and sources water from the ancient Black Creek Aquifer. Social House Vodka. Live socially. Enjoy responsibly.
So we have on the phone Chef Joel Schrader, chef de cuisine at Mandolin. We just spoke with Sean Fowler a little bit earlier, but Joel is also participating in this weekend's Chicken Wire event, Soups for Syria. Welcome, Joel.
Thanks for having me.
How did you get connected with the Chicken Wire events?
So really, I guess helping Chef Fowler do some of the other Chicken Wire. So we did the French Chicken Wire. I did another private Chicken Wire at someone's house, but I think it was mostly just from helping him and then getting to know Regan through doing the events and stuff like that a couple years ago. I think Sean's been doing them for probably pretty much since the beginning. So I've been helping out to one aspect or another since they started doing it.
Before I let you go, tell me about what's going on, what we can expect from you coming up soon. I hear you got something planned.
Yeah, so we... it's myself and two other people that some people probably are familiar with. John Anton, who was the beverage director at Mandolin years ago, and then who was the manager and beverage director at Death and Taxes when they opened. And then Kevin Donnelly, who is also a sous here at Mandolin, as well as a sous chef at Death and Taxes for a couple of years as well. So we worked together here, got along pretty well, and stayed connected and have been playing around with an idea for a while because we all kind of believe that there is a bit of a lack of sandwich shops in the Triangle, and we're trying to do our part to fix that going forward, and kind of work on some sausages, charcuterie, deli meats, your pastrami's, your pâtés and such. Bring that to the Triangle.
When will we expect it?
We're hoping, if everything goes as it's planned, it should be by the end of the year this year.
So really, like in 3 years, because that's never how.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, maybe early 2020. I think maybe be more realistic.
Well, no, but hopefully it does happen by the end of the year, because sandwiches are my most important thing in my life, and there is a dearth of sandwich offerings in this town. And being from Los Angeles, I always preach the gospel of Bay City's Deli. I will go toe to toe with anyone else in the world and tell you that it's the best sandwich. Having traveled a lot, I've yet to find one better than that. So if you ever find yourself in Santa Monica, go to Bay City's Deli and order a spicy godmother on their fresh home baked bread there. And it will blow your mind.
That sounds amazing.
And then I implore you to then recreate that here in Raleigh.
I'll do my best.
But, well, that's exciting, man. And that, you got a good crew there too. John Anton, I've been following what he's been doing with his career. He's an inspiration too on the beverage side and service side. So that's going to be really interesting. I'll be excited to see that when it comes out. You have a name for it yet?
We do. It's Old North Meats and Provisions. So it's kind of Old North State mixed with kind of your old world techniques, your Northern United States type of Jersey type of stuff, plus Midwestern kind of German influence stuff too.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to it. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow night, and I look forward to seeing you in person, and we'll chat more.
Sounds good. Thanks for talking.
Take care. We'll see you.
Thanks, man.
Welcome back, everyone. I am on the phone right now with Chef Sean Fowler, previous guest of the NCFB podcast, the chef and owner of Mandolin Restaurant. And by the way, Sean, I don't know if you know this, but your episode for 2018 is so far the most listened to episode we have had to date.
No way. No way. That's great.
Who knew? Everyone wanted to hear from you.
Yeah, I must have a lot of family or something.
Or maybe you're just like re-listening to the episode every day.
Yeah, exactly. Basking in my glory. Sure.
but thank you for being on the show. What got you connected with Chicken Wire, and why do you participate?
It sprung out of just a friendship with Regan. You know, he was organizing his first one. And you know, the collaborators in that first Chicken Wire were myself, John Childers, and Regan. He was kind of doing something I thought was a little bit different, and you know, chance to work with some chefs that I generally, you know, don't get a chance to cook with, and it just seemed like a fun opportunity. And you know, I was pretty psyched that he was doing it, and you know, obviously it's been a real treat to see what he has kind of formed it into. You know, it's kind of taken on a life of its own. He's done a ton of these things, and a bunch of different chefs have contributed. So I just think it's a cool thing for the culinary community. It's, you know, and I think really a testament to Regan and just what a great guy he is.
No doubt. It's been fun. I was a diner at that first event at the Offal dinner. So I remember, I remember John Childers. He made goat brains, canned goat brains, I think. And I remember his biggest apology wasn't that we were eating goat brains, that we were eating canned goat brains, which I thought was
That's
funny.
That's right. And frankly, if I was John, I don't think I would have copped to it. I would have just let it fly under the radar.
Yeah, because everyone in that room, like, we had so much experience with eating goat brains. Like,
right.
This is clearly canned. Right. Yeah. Well, then that leads me to the next question is, for this weekend, this is Chicken Wire, Soup for Syria is the theme. So what have you prepared? What are you going to prepare this weekend?
I'm doing it's a West African peanut stew, you know, chicken, sweet potatoes, peanuts, obviously, a little spice in there. So just kind of a fun dish outside of what I would culinarily do at Mandolin. I think that's another great thing about the Chicken Wires or pop-up dinner series is, you know, it forces us the opportunity to do some stuff that we wouldn't necessarily be able to do in our own restaurants, just because conceptually or, you know, thematically, it doesn't really fit with what our food is.
Totally.
So, you know, kind of trying out a different type of cuisine, something that I've frankly, you know, never cooked before. So
yeah,
it's kind of a fun, you know, fun exercise, something I want to eat, I guess. So yeah.
Is there anything specific going on in your world right now that we should know about, or things to look forward to in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, we're really fired up for our farm, you know, getting plants in the ground. You know, obviously we added some chickens. We've got a hoop house going up right now. Going to be growing some tomatoes inside. We're working on an aquaponics project. So we got a lot of cool things going on our kind of ancillary project, which is our farm, which supplies, you know, a fair amount of produce and herbs and eggs for the restaurant. So we, you know, this is a fun time of year to be cooking because it's, you know,
these
dramatic change of seasons from winter to spring. But yeah, especially if you're planting some of those plants, it gets exciting when you you know, you're getting stuff coming up out of the ground and, you know, just getting excited for spring and summer.
Well, and especially
a lot of work going on out there.
Especially this winter. This was like Game of Thrones winter. It seemed to never end, but but it's exciting that spring has sprung. And in fact, I'm sitting in a car recording with you, and it is torrential downpour outside.
Spring showers have sprung as well.
Exactly. Well, we got to get all that pollen out of the air, so that's kind of nice. But Sean, thank you so much. I will see you tomorrow, and hopefully we can continue this conversation in the moment, maybe as everyone's cooking, and definitely afterwards we can kind of figure it out as a post-game show as how things went. And I look forward to seeing you then.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Max.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Well, with me right now, I have Chef Brian Dahlstrom, and he is joining us as one of the many, I believe there are 18 different contributors to this Chicken Wire event. It's been a long time since Regan Stockler has done a Chicken Wire event, and when he does it well, and this time he's doing it big with 18 contributors for Soup for Syria. How were you originally involved and connected to being a part of Chicken Wire?
Originally, just through, you know, having Regan's original restaurant, Little Hen, you know, on my to-do restaurant to go to, and then through social media, hearing about the Chicken Wire, I reached out and asked how could I be a part of it. So the first one that I did was the Glazed Confused, and that was really fun.
Yeah,
and I definitely enjoyed that. And then I did last summer, I did the Infugo at Chef James' property, and we grilled oysters. So that's how I, you know, got started. And they asked me back, so I guess I didn't suck.
We're here at Saint Jacques with Serge Falco's Vigne.
Ah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. Bonjour.
Oh, bonjour, Serge. Thank you very much for not only being on the show, but well, my family, the Trujillos, just had about 9 courses of food for a Saturday lunch, and the Weisses are just about to sit down and start doing the same thing. This was, how did the French say it? Très magnifique?
It's perfect.
A fantastic way to understand French cuisine, and as we discussed, not just your riff on it, on French cuisine, but traditional French cuisine, to kind of hold the truths of what French culinary design is in Raleigh, since there's not a lot of representation in this town. So you are keeping that definition alive out here with your experience.
Yes, it's true. It is very important to share the experience and poof.
Let's talk about Chicken Wire, since it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
You better be cooking something right now. I'm smelling some things in the kitchen right now, so I hope something has something to do with Soups for Syria, which is the theme of the dinner tomorrow night. So, what are you making tomorrow night?
I think I got to go with the soup.
That would be a good idea, since I think that's the rules. Yeah.
So, I look a little bit about that, and, you know, it's Syrian soup. I just try to find the most traditional recipe we can do over there. It's going to be a lot of vegetarian, lentil. Mm-hmm. So I twist that a little bit by cooking some chicken inside. So I give another... I take the base of the yellow lentils and some lemon, a little bit of Aleppo pepper, because, you know, this comes from Alep. Yeah. So it's the same town. So it was very important for me to create this dish. And I definitely twist on by adding some smoked duck, house-made smoked duck, and I call that duck bacon. Just for put that on top and bring some smokiness. So if you want, I take the traditional recipe and I go to just add a little bit of frou-frou on top and some extra love inside, because I want people to taste it.
I like that you interpreted the theme quite literally, Soup for Syria, and you now are designing a Syrian type of soup.
Yes.
And having spoken with everybody so far, I don't think anyone's doing that yet. So
yeah,
you hit it nicely. Well, I'm going to let you go because Matt's family is hungry and they want food. And my belly is full.
We are now greeted with the culinary team over at the Mainton Inn. We have chefs Steve Zanini and Chris Santucci, affectionately known as Tucci in my life. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome. What's up?
It's good to have you on. Tucci, why don't you go first? How are you connected to Chicken Wire in general? How did you get involved?
Well, I started seeing the dinners happening online, and I saw a buddy of mine from high school was actually doing them. His name is James Johnson. He's Ashley Christensen's banquet chef right now.
Of course.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Well, I got a chance, you know, to see what was going on through his Instagram account and I became friends with Regan on there, just kind of seeing what was going on in the area, just trying to stay in touch with what all the chefs are doing now.
Yeah.
And this is my first event doing with Chicken Wire. I'm pretty excited about it.
And what about you, Mr. Zanini?
I've always seen the Chicken Wire stuff. I've never participated. I've done things with some of the various chefs that are in Chicken Wire. And so this is my first event with Chicken Wire as well.
You guys are literally just walking distance from the actual location, which makes it pretty convenient.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're still going to drive. Don't get me wrong. We ain't walking down the street with all that hot soup.
That would be hilarious to watch. I'll look for you tomorrow, and we'll talk then.
All right, brother. And we'll see you soon.
Sounds good, Max.
Yeah. See you tomorrow. Thanks, guys. I'll see you later.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
So we're here with chef owner Brendan Cox of the Oak Leaf. And wait. So Oakleaf has picked up and moved and went to new spots, new locations.
We opened 6 weeks ago in Carrboro, so we're located adjacent to Cat's Cradle and the Main Street development there.
The only street in Carrboro.
The only street in Carrboro, yeah. So 310 East Main Street, we're open 7 days a week, only brunch on Sunday, lunch, dinner every other day.
How's the kitchen now that you get to like redesign and open a new place?
It was honestly like swimming underwater in a straitjacket for the first 4 or 5 weeks till we figured out where everything was supposed to go. The first Saturday night was a little rough. I don't think the guests felt it, but I certainly felt like I needed a break or a cocktail by the end of it. Now everything's sort of kneesed out where it belongs. And we don't have the windows that we used to have in the old kitchen, which was very, you know, jealousy-inducing of my friends back up north to have these big 12-foot-high windows in the kitchen. But it's not as hot because it's not like we're in a greenhouse anymore.
Yeah, it's not radiating that heat.
Yeah, so the opportunity to redesign was also tempered by the fact that we took everything out of the old space. Like, our last day in the space was breaking down the walk-in in its entirety and traveling up the road, so it's all the old hits of equipment in a new building, kind of. And then we're really happy with the way the space turned out. The reception's been great. We've been super busy since the jump, which is awesome for us, which is what we were looking for. And you know, we're really happy to be in Carrboro. We feel like it's a really good spot for food. Foodies, people like Gabe Barker up at Mercado is doing some incredible food, and some other people on the same strip, people over at Tandem, are doing great food. I think Carrboro is becoming sort of this sort of progressive dining for the area.
Sure.
I feel like with the proximity to the market and the sort of the youthful vibe, like the energy that we're getting out of the space right now,
yeah,
is pretty awesome. Pittsburgh was fantastic, and I loved every part of it, but I really enjoy being in something as a part of something rather than sort of an island unto ourselves. And, you know, once we left Pittsburgh, Postal Fish got all our employees. So it worked out for everybody.
Pittsburgh's starting to blow up now. They're like, thank God that guy's gone. Now we can finally do something here.
Yeah, you know, we're holding everybody back. Right. My thumb was obviously on the scales.
All right, so we're catching up with you here at Soup for Syria, the Chicken Wire event. And you made a chilled asparagus with spring garlic soup, truffle mascarpone.
Yes.
I have one question about your soup.
Yes.
Since it's chilled asparagus, as soup, is my pea still going to smell later?
It's going to smell worse, actually, is really what it boils down to.
I smell your pea right now.
And my garlic breath. So
yeah, exactly.
Really not like a very good smelling.
But it will make you smarter.
Okay.
Yeah, so nice. it's always a trade-off. There's always something to happen.
I'll be smarter for smelling badly.
Double down on the soup.
Yeah. And besides which, if you smell that bad, you're going to need to be smarter to be more attractive to people.
Totally.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly.
No, truth be told, so how did you, what was the inspiration for this soup? And then tell us about why you got involved with Chicken Wire.
Sure. Everything we do at Oakleaf is radically seasonal,
mm-hmm.
To the point where, you know, whatever our menu is based on what's at the market every day.
Yeah.
I go to farmers markets 5 days a week, and if there's not something I like, 2 weeks ago I knew that the state market in Raleigh, a lot of the farms are further south and further east. And I was really tired of sweet potatoes and Swiss chard.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get some asparagus and strawberries on the menu, so we
and
made
this,
that
like,
trip.
This, like, just came in, right?
Yes.
Asparagus.
Yeah, yeah, this just came in. It's been in the Carver Market for about 10 days.
Okay.
So we knew that we wanted, it, obviously, something that was informed by what we were buying and what we were doing at the restaurant. And it was supposed to be April, and it's supposed to be warm.
Yeah, seriously.
And I figured that chilled soup would be okay. Meanwhile, yeah, everybody's walking around super cold, super, you know, bundled up today.
No, but you know what? Especially what you're in between. So you're in between Chef James Johnson over there, who's got this heavy, like, almost Italian wedding style soup, and then the guys from Postal Fish, who have this fish kind of stew thing,
yes,
which are both heavy.
I like, want to point out that all of them have worked for me at some point.
The Brendan
so,
Cox
so
tree.
Anything, mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've anything good that they've done is obviously from us.
Clearly.
You know, clearly stolen.
They've admitted that to us, both of them.
Well, it's good that they're
podcasts.
Well, yeah, honesty is now coming to them.
Finally.
As you're, they
finally
see,
getting
they're
your
finally
due,
coming around to what's supposed to be going on. But no, it is different than what everybody else is
doing.
No, but
doing. And I think that's Max and I were talking about that, especially when you do a collaboration in a festival with this, when people are tasting so many dishes. That's kind of nice, and it stands out also because it's different, because it's chilled, and it's almost, you could say, refreshing, maybe?
Or stupid. One of the two.
Yeah?
Yeah, either way.
You're an idiot genius.
Maybe just the idiot part, right? But, you know, I woke up this morning, it was 31 degrees at the house, and I was like, crap.
Right.
I'm serving cold soup, but at that point, you're pot committed, and what are you going to do?
Well, at least you won't have a problem keeping the temperature of the cold soup.
Well,
so,
I mean, let's see, refrigeration is not an issue today.
Right.
Let's
so
say that. And I had to bring less equipment.
Right. Good.
And then for Chicken Wire, I've known Regan for a long time, and I've obviously known James and Bill and James and a bunch of the other cats out here for a while, and they've bugged me a lot to do Chicken Wire events, and it never seemed to work out, and then we had a really good cause.
Yeah.
Like, we're out here for a really good reason. You know, we're all here to make life a little bit better, hopefully, for some people that we can't always help directly.
Right.
And I think it's a good event to support. And if we're not out here doing it now for these people, like, what else are we going to do it for?
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any sense to me to do it any other way.
Yeah, it should be said, Soups for Syria is not just a cool name. It's actually a thing where all the proceeds from tonight are being donated to help Syrian refugees.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chef, any parting words of wisdom for previous employee of your company and now videographer of the NCF&B, Forrest Mason?
Forrest, shave the beard.
Wow.
It's time.
It's time. I mean, he does have a pretty baby face.
He would totally lose his Carborough street cred, though.
You know, well, street cred and Forrest don't always intersect in the same
point.
Sentence very often.
It's like a car crash.
It's like pedestrian, you know, at that point, for certain. Now, Forrest is really good people. Don't shave your face. Shave your head. Make a statement.
There you go. Then he would really get, then he would get some street cred.
Yes.
For sure.
All right, you heard that.
Very kind.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Chef.
Sure.
Thanks.
Sure,
it's
my pleasure.
Delicious.
Thank you all very much.
We'll talk to you soon. I'll see you at the restaurant soon.
Cheers.
Yeah, anytime.
We're talking with James Beard Award-winning chef Steve Mangano, of the famed Cure Eat app, and a friend of the podcast, former guest of the podcast, and he is working up some serious food with, I would assume, an Asian-inspired recipe. Please, Steve, let me know what you're doing.
It is Tom Kha Gai, which is basically, think of it as Thai chicken soup. Has coconut milk. We add a little coconut cream, some cilantro, some toasted shallots, which is more of a Vietnamese-style take on it, and add some sriracha and cilantro. And we have a little fresh bamboo shoots with that are basically marinated in some fish sauce and sriracha.
Well, I kid that I'm being, you know, I was kidding about you being the chef, but seriously, you've thrown down a really serious meal. So typically you don't have a professional kitchen you're working in, but I assume you learned this somewhere.
Yeah, well, my undergraduate degree was hospitality management, so I cooked there, and then I, you know, I owned or helped start Poland Place Cafe. So I have cooked over the years, but I would never call myself a chef because I believe you have to manage a kitchen for a long time to be a chef.
Steve Mangano, not a stranger to the kitchen or a stranger to the food community. Thank you very much, sir. See you soon.
And thank you for listening to the NCF&B podcast. And I am the voice, Brian Hoyle. Guests of the NCF&B podcast receive a swag bag, including gifts from these exceptional North Carolina producers. Social House Vodka, Michael's English Muffins, Larry's Beans and 42 in Lawrence, Ramona Wine Coolers, and Happy Hour Vitamins. Join us next week when we chat with Evan Lutz of Hungry Harvest. That's next time here on the NCFNB Podcast.